Okay, now we are going on to Esoteric Astrology Adventure 96. It's section C. We've been here on page 318. And we've been looking at five signs of the zodiac, which are the majority of the negative signs. Taurus is excluded, but every other one is there. Cancer, Virgo, Scorpio, Capricorn, and Pisces. And we've noticed that there are certain planets which are predominating in relation to these signs, namely the Moon for Cancer and Virgo, but also found in fall or detriment in Scorpio, Pisces. We've noticed Neptune in Cancer and Pisces. We've noticed Mercury in Virgo and Scorpio, and Pluto in Scorpio and Pisces. Maybe these planets tell the story about the transition to mental polarization, but also a degree of intuitive apprehension as well. The Tibetan is going on here to speak of these things. It says you have two signs of water and earth, Cancer and Virgo, in the stage of subconscious emphasis wherein everything is latent and hidden. They are both ruled by the Moon in that respect, and the light has not emerged. We know that Cancer is associated with the dark light of matter and Virgo with the hidden Christ. DK goes on to say, human consciousness is only embryonic in Cancer. Really, individualization symbolically has not occurred. It occurs in the next sign, Leo. So human consciousness is only embryonic in Cancer. For it is the mass mind, the instinctual mind, which dominates, and not the individual mind, not the individual mind of Leo. We'll put that down. Not the individual mind of Leo. That is not dominating. Let's take a look here. Yep. Okay. Checking my dials and so forth, what is actually happening. All right. So, interestingly enough, when you look at the constellation Cancer, at least as it now appears from our solar system, it is a rather vague aggregation of stars. It almost seems like there's an empty space between the brightness of Gemini and the brightness of Leo. But in fact, Cancer is found there, and it is, in a way, connected with the dark light of matter, and also it is receding. Receding in significance in relation to our particular solar system in which the light is to emerge. So, two signs of latency, so to speak. In Virgo, the Christ life, or consciousness is hidden, and the Christ child is as yet embryonic in the womb of matter and of time. It has not had time to emerge, and it has, and matter is not conditioned sufficiently, etherealized sufficiently, so that the radiation of the Christ child can show forth. And during this stage, the emphasis is upon form, the form which veils and hides the reality. Let matter reign is the keynote of Virgo in the early stages, and as it was in the previous solar system, although now we're told that in relation to our solar system, the second and the sixth rays are emerging in Virgo, so it's a completely different emphasis upon the subjective life rather than upon the form. So let's just say the individual mind is hidden in Cancer, and the Christ child is hidden in Virgo. The human soul and the divine soul, the essential duality, are there, but their presence is not easily detected, and we would say not at first. Now, interestingly enough, Cancer and Virgo are the two signs which DK tells us were prominent in the previous solar system. So we're beginning this fivefold collection of signs with two that have a very strong relation to earlier conditions. The human soul is the individualized mind soul, soul mind, hidden in Cancer, and the divine soul, well, we can call it the soul from the higher mental plane, but even more so from higher levels, even from the monadic level, which interestingly is ruled by the sign Virgo, Jupiter in Virgo. Normally not a strong position for Jupiter, but in these very high spiritual states, a very strong combination. So the human soul and the divine soul, the essential duality, are there, but their presence is not easily detected. This is not so, of course, for the disciples who are born in Cancer and Virgo, but for the average human being, there's a lot of materiality in both of these signs, reminiscent of the conditions of the earlier solar system, which have been brought forward to be redeemed in this solar system, with this emphasis upon the solar logoic soul, the emergence of the solar logoic soul. In Scorpio comes a point of transition, of change and reorientation, a kind of reversal of the wheel. We remember how Uranus is involved in the reversal of the wheel. It's involved either with Libra because it rules there esoterically, or it's involved with Scorpio because it is the exalted planet in that particular sign. So there are reorientations which are occurring in that area of the zodiac, evaluation and reorientation, or a falling back into Virgo. Interesting how, you know, Libra is not mentioned. None of the in-between signs are mentioned, but only the resultant signs. That which has been hitherto hidden appears. Again, the theme of that which is hidden, just as in Cancer and Virgo, and the emergence of that which is hidden, but oftentimes in this case, the darker substances and patterns before the emergence of the light of day, which is the type of light related to Scorpio. That which has been hitherto hidden appears and is brought to the surface by means of the experience, the tests, the trials, and the sting of life. You know, let's just say that the dire pain found in life is itself the awakener. So that which has been hitherto hidden appears and is brought to the surface by means of the experience. So many reincarnational factors, long suppressed, long forgotten. I mean, sometimes we can barely remember what happens to us a week ago or even days ago. And we sometimes wonder, why do we not remember our past lives? So there's much lurking in our aura, which is long, long forgotten, but the stings of life, the trials, the tests, and the general hard times, the temptations and the struggles, the failures and sometimes the successes, these bring those hidden factors to life. So it is transitional towards the soul, because in this particular case, Virgo and Cancer are all about that which came before. And now Scorpio is transitional to help us move from the M of matter toward the intelligence, illumined intelligence aspect of the soul. Now we have another level here, Capricorn. There seems to be an ascent going on through these signs. In Capricorn, as a result of the effects of the influences of Cancer, Virgo, and Scorpio, the disciple begins to demonstrate the capacity to express the life of two kingdoms, express that life, not just know about it And Scorpio, he begins to know about it, but there's quite a struggle, and the opponents are more equally matched, and the struggles may go on for a long time. In Capricorn, there's already the emergence of the dominant, or the domination of the soul. To express the life of two kingdoms, the fifth kingdom of nature, into which initiation in Capricorn gives entree, and the fourth kingdom of nature, the human kingdom, into which Cancer was important in opening the door. So, as he says, at least in some measure, the disciple begins to demonstrate the capacity to express the life of two kingdoms, at least in some measure, and is a developed human being. Of course, you know, this is at a certain stage of discipleship. We have to remember this. We're not a completely soul-infused person here. Otherwise, DK would not say, express the life of two kingdoms, at least in some measure. He's a developed human being and also initially a citizen of the kingdom of God. This begins at the first initiation, is confirmed at the third initiation, and he's a fully mature member of the kingdom of God at the fifth initiation. Capricorn rules all five of the initiations, so in a way, it is the doorway into the kingdom of God, even though at first the person is just a babe within the kingdom of God. He's just born again into that kingdom and has to grow up and so forth. So the rich young man within the kingdom of God is the third degree initiate, and the mature sage within the kingdom of God is the fifth degree initiate. Therefore, for an initiate, and for a period of three incarnations, now this is interesting, the four signs of revelation, Cancer, Virgo, Scorpio, and Capricorn, intensify their effect upon them, upon him. Now, we have four signs, but it says until in the fourth incarnation, he begins to respond to the subtle inner influence of Pisces. You begin to wonder whether there are three incarnations in which four signs are somehow operative, or whether during the fourth incarnation in Capricorn, he can already begin to sense not only hierarchy in the soul, but the subtle inner influences of Pisces, which begins to reveal Shambhala, or the will, not my will, but thine will be done, thy will be done. He thus demonstrates his ability to react to Shambhala, the Shambhala influence, which is Pluto in this case, the influence of the will. And when this influence is established, he goes out to salvage and to save. Now, this is discipleship. At first, I was saying that, you know, perhaps we're dealing here not quite with the full third-degree initiate, but the way DK is moving through this, he seems to be going from the emergence of the Christ life and light to its dominance after struggle, and finally to the emergence of the Spirit in Pisces. So, in fact, this could cover a period all the way from the first initiation to the fifth, looked at from one perspective. It would be a rather wide range of discipleship experience covered by these five signs. He's giving us their meaning in general in the life of discipleship. But there is, we seem to have four incarnations and maybe five. Now, if that fifth incarnation ends in him going out to salvage and save as a world savior, then we're talking about, you know, four or five incarnations before liberation. And it would almost, you know, if a person realizes that he's born in or under Cancer in such a setup, he would have, you know, a certain number of incarnations remaining only before he went out to salvage and save. But of course, we don't know whether this means as a fourth degree initiate, or no, that should have been fourth degree, not first degree. Fourth degree initiate, or as an awakened disciple under the influence of beneficent Pisces. So, you know, there's a hint here that if this is really a climactic moment of world saviorship, we are talking about the four incarnations which precede world saviorship. That would be saying quite a bit. That would be telling us that we may be around the period of the second initiation. 2, 3, and 4 can be taken at the same time. That leaves initiation at 5 looming. So it would seem that initiations 2, 3, 4, and 5 can be taken in anywhere from 2 lives to 4 lives. 2 lives to 4 lives. Okay. So there are still things that have to be worked out here. He says at a certain stage of discipleship. Okay. The way this could look is the 4 lives that it takes to move from the second degree to the fifth degree. But those are under ideal circumstances, I would say. We're told that the fourth and fifth degree can be taken in the same life, the third and fourth in the same life, and even the second, third, and fourth in the same life. So it depends on the degree of earnestness of the disciple and what he or she makes of the opportunities presented. But we may be talking about the climactic 5 initiations, and in Capricorn as an initiate, Shambhala begins to be sensed. So this could lead to the fourth degree, not necessarily to the fifth degree, but certainly to the fourth degree. Okay, and there the going forth to salvage and save as a fourth degree initiate under Pisces is a clear possibility. This perhaps helps us locate just a little bit those the possible placement of these incarnations. So he acts consciously as a world mediator, and therefore it might be stated that. So let's see if DK makes this a little bit clearer at this point for our sake to help us pinpoint this. In Cancer, the influence of the human hierarchy makes its presence felt to include the dualism of man. So he's at least within those love petals, because there the duality of man under Gemini is made apparent, and the higher self, in no matter what form we may discuss it, is made apparent. This emerges, I suppose, this dualism emerges clearly in Virgo. Soul and body are closely related and knit together in one form. Man is conscious, a conscious personality, and this is the result of the Cancer experience consummated in Virgo. So there's a close knitting together, but the higher of the pairs of opposites is sensed. I remember in the discussion of Leo and Virgo in relation to the Sphinx, one of the ways of looking at these two signs is that Leo represents the integrated personality, which is not really aware of the higher self, and with Virgo that duality comes in, the higher self and the lower self, the higher self expressing through matter. Such is the way of humanity, the human center is active. But remember here, we're talking about disciples. We're talking about disciples and not how the ordinary human being reacts to the sign Cancer and Virgo. So DK seems to be doing two things. He's talking in general about the... He's talking in general about the influence of these signs, but he's also hinting at what these signs could mean to the developing disciple who's about ready to, I think, enter the stream at the second degree. So let's repeat that. I think it's important. In Cancer, the influence of the human hierarchy begins to make its presence felt. What is the human hierarchy? This is the hierarchy of human monads. It could well be, right? So let's ask, is it a monadic touch? Could this be the hierarchy, or let's call it we'll call it this, the creative hierarchy of human monads, begins to make its presence felt and to include the dualism of man. This dualism emerges clearly in Virgo. Soul and body are closely related and knit together in one form, but there must be some consciousness of soul. Man is a conscious personality, and this is the result of the Cancer experience, because the four are united in Cancer. It's a sign of deep integration of the four lower, three lower vehicles into a unity, which is the fourth. And consummated in Virgo with its closely related union of soul and personality. Such is the way of humanity in general. So the first two signs, in a way, represent humanity, and for the disciple, the overcoming of the strictly human and veiling conditions. Now we come to that transitional sign. There are five signs given here. If there's five, it really has to do with the fixed cross and the emergence of the soul, finally, in full glory on the fixed cross. In Scorpio, the influence of the occult hierarchy. Now, you know, the interesting thing is here, when he says the human hierarchy, he could mean the human family, in a sense. But if he really is influenced by the human monads, that is another matter and a higher matter. But it would seem to be putting the cart before the horse, because here we have the influence of the occult hierarchy begins to set its seal on the human being. And the soul is coming into a dominating power, but not without a struggle, of course. And his essential duality, which is, let's say, realized in the other two signs, is put to the test. That is the key to Scorpio. Just how much have you achieved, and to what degree are you really tested? Put to the test, so that the powerful will, this powerful first ray in Scorpio, this powerful spiritual will, can work through and dominate all of the tempting tendencies. So this struggle, this putting to a test, this test trial and hopefully triumph, is preparatory to a new and higher unity. He's at the miserable stage of being neither soul nor form. It's the stage of transition. So we see that DK talks about a peculiar stage of discipleship in relation to these five signs, but he also talks about a much wider range involving these five signs, all the way from the human stage to the stage of the, we might call it the wretched aspirant, and on into the true disciple and initiate. So he's torn, and of course this fits, doesn't it? Fits with the fourth ray of Scorpio, doesn't it? So the fourth ray, the ray of being rent or torn. Right. All right. Such is the way of the disciple, and the hierarchical center is affecting him powerfully, but total victory, is not yet his, and there's still the wretched state, wretchedness. What a word, wretch. You know, even when you're sick to your stomach and you're going to throw up, we call it retching. It gives you some horrible idea of what it's like to not be free of that which has to be cast out of your system. Now, he's not mentioning Capricorn here yet. Maybe he will. Looks like he begins with Pisces. This is stage number three. In Pisces, the influence of Shambhala claims the initiate as its field of activity. And the dualism of soul and spirit emerges instead of that of soul and body, which has hitherto been of major importance. This is such an occult way of looking at it. The influence of Shambhala is directed towards a field. That field is the initiate. It's not like the initiate is some sort of special identity, but it's a field of activity which is claimed by a superior force, which is the Shambhala force. as its field of activity in the dualism of soul and spirit emerges instead of that of soul and body. Now, of course, the soul and body dualism is in a way climaxed in Capricorn, which thus far is not mentioned. Let's see if he does mention it. The power of the form to hold the soul in captivity has been negated. I mean, that is the theme of Pisces, isn't it? The soul consciousness is in bondage to the ways of form, and later the personality activity and consciousness is in bondage to the larger perception of the soul, so it can no longer slip back into becoming that rather limited thing that it began, as which it began. The power of the form to hold the soul in captivity has been negated, and the tests and trials of the initiate up to the third initiation are directed towards this end. And tests and trials, remember how he talks about this. Scorpio is active until the third initiation, and I wonder if it's not active beyond that in a different manner, but no longer the testing manner that we're speaking of. You know, when we're told that Scorpio stages the release of Leo, the ultimate release of Leo is the release from the causal body, because in a way that causal body is a very Leonian, glorious compendium of all valuable experiences, and Scorpio brings the death of that via Pluto. So I wouldn't at all be surprised to find Scorpio and Pisces active in fourth initiation matters. Sometimes when I look at the picture of Giordano Bruno, we don't have so much about his life. I feel he was strongly philosophically on the third ray, and he had to go to the stake because he spoke the philosophical truth. And when I look at him, it looks strongly Pisces and possibly Scorpio, some of the few images that are available of that martyr for wider truth. I think we all achieve our, you know, martyrdom in different ways according to our ray. So such is the way of initiate. Now, he just didn't mention Capricorn, but you can imagine. You can imagine Capricorn here between the Scorpio and the Pisces phases before Shambhala claims the initiate as its field of influence. And Capricorn would establish him firmly as the director in the realm of the soul, but not yet completely subject to Shambhala. And it is during the Capricorn experience and during the fourth life that he experiences this effect from the Pisces field. Now remember, sometimes he tells you how many lives are going to be experienced in different phases. Remember, he sometimes talks about 3, 7, or even 11 lives. Let's see if I can find that. I think that's in Esoteric Psychology 2. Let's take a look here. 3, 7, 11. 3, 7, 11 lives. So there's only one page where that would be listed. And that's integrate the three sheaths into a unity which for three... which were 3 and sometimes 7 lives, occasionally 11 lives, will function as the dominant personality in some field of wide expression, using the energy of ambition to bring this about. So here is where a sequence of lives is discussed at a certain stage of evolution. Now there's another place where he talks about the first great technique of integration, and I think it will be a sixth ray body. Let's see if sixth ray body will bring that to us. Personality sixth ray emotional body. Let's see here. Sixth ray, and finally, will constitute his astral Buddhic life. And let's see. Here it is. This is under the first ray technique of integration. And he's talking about a series of lives. Now, this is obviously a series of lives which is beyond the series of lives that we just discussed. The series of lives we just discussed is that of the ambitious personality. Now, we're dealing with the integrating individual under the first race soul, and it says, it is interesting to note that when this stage is reached, the stage of rebuilding, as the first man, Ray Man, understands it, not the stage of selfish personality integration, he will usually pass through, here we go, four incarnations. Now, in the other one, we looked at 3, 7, or 11 lives. Now we're looking at four incarnations, in which he will be, he is, first of all, the man at the center, a focal point of immobile power. It doesn't tell us what the personality ray may be. He is conscious of his power gained whilst functioning as a selfish destroyer, but he is also conscious of frustration and futility. Next he passes, well, I guess he's ripe for the law of repulse, isn't he? Next he passes through a life in which he begins to reorganize himself. There's the word, reorganize. I think that's an important word. reorganize himself for a different type of activity. And it will be found that in these cases he will have a third or a seventh ray personality. In the third, because these are two rays that go along with the idea of organization and reorganization, perhaps if he found himself as a selfish destroyer, what would his personality ray have been? What? Fourth? Giving him the sense of frustration and futility? Certainly not the second ray. No, not yet. In the third incarnation, he begins definitely rebuilding. There's the hint, because the building ray is the second ray. He begins rebuilding and works through a second ray personality until, in the fourth life, he can function safely through a first ray personality. So we're moving from some unspecified personality ray, which, I don't know, probably is the fourth ray or the sixth ray, giving a sense of frustration, to the reorganization of the third and seventh ray, into the second ray of rebuilding, and finally a first ray personality without losing his spiritual balance. Notice the first ray soul will not choose a personality ray on its own ray until there is the guarantee that there will not be a loss of spiritual balance, if we might use such a phrase. And through this type of personality, his first ray soul can demonstrate, because the disciple has, quote, recovered feeling, gained divine emotion, and filled his waiting heart with love. And even with the first ray personality, this will be characteristic of him. I think very interesting that we have to consider what he has done before. We have to consider the past. Even when we're looking at the rays of the present, the past is so conditioning. In such a case, the astral body is usually on the second ray, the mental body on the fourth ray, and the physical body upon the sixth ray. So he's a 2, 4, 2, 6. That's not correct. He's a first ray soul, first ray personality. Fourth ray, mind, second ray, astral, sixth ray, physical, and this naturally tends to balance or upset the intensity of the first ray vibrations of the personality soul. So here's another example of lives being led. Four incarnations involved here. And then when we go back to what we have been discussing, we have a story here of several incarnations, four of them, and maybe five incarnations. An incarnation in or under Cancer, Virgo, Scorpio, Capricorn, Pisces. And this comes at still maybe a later phase. Maybe it takes off from the description under the techniques of integration that we have just looked at. So wherever you can find DK describing a series of lives, put that information together, because you may discover that actually he's filled in the spaces. and he's shown us the kind of lives which tend to be lived by the advancing disciple. Maybe we will get the inkling of just how many lives there are and the circumstances under which they are lived. Now, whatever he says there for the initiate, for the first race soul, he could probably say for souls on other rays as well. Probably there are tendencies for them to live certain incarnations under certain personality rays at a certain point in their integration. We don't know whether the other soul rays will choose a personality ray which is the same as their soul ray. You might say, if the first ray personality, first ray soul could do it, why could not the other soul types do that as well? We're not given those, we're not given examples of that, and nowhere, interestingly, except in that one spot that I've just read, are we given an example of how the of a soul ray and a personality ray which are the same, and not in his group of students, including among them even initiates of the third degree, were there the same soul and personality rays. So you have to look at that, probably, I would say, as the exception. One day we'll be in a position to study these matters closely through reincarnational research. So DK tells us that then that such is the way of the initiate. And he says, you will note the interesting fact that you have here nine signs which carry a man from the stage of imprisonment in form to the freedom of the kingdom of God, from the stage of embryonic consciousness, this is the wide sweep, of course, to the full flower of divine knowledge. And, you know, full flower, that's exalted Venus in Pisces, isn't it? From Cancer to Pisces. And, of course, basically what we're leaving out is Aries, Taurus, Gemini, the subjective signs which have not quite, as it were, incarnated. So you will note the interesting fact that you have here nine signs which carry a man from the stage of imprisonment in form to the freedom of the kingdom of God. So let's just say he is a fourth degree initiate. Ultimately, that doesn't mean that when you're born in Pisces you necessarily are. I'd say Pisces can be pretty prominent also at the second degree, because there's a kind of relinquishment and a death of the personality experience going on there, at least the death of the astral body under Pluto. So taking him from a stage of imprisonment in form, which is obviously, you know, it's obviously Cancer, isn't it, to the freedom of the kingdom of God, from the stage of embryonic consciousness, which is mass consciousness in Cancer, to the full flower of divine knowledge, from the condition of human awareness, because Cancer gives entree into the human kingdom, human awareness, Cancer again, to the conscious wisdom of the initiated disciple. And remember that Jupiter in Pisces gives, according to the Tibetan, pervasive wisdom, whereas Jupiter in Aquarius gives universal love. Interesting, the reversal there. You might think that Aquarius would give the wisdom and Pisces, the love. I think in the signs of a number of the world savior types, including the Master Kuthumi, the Christ, even the Buddha, I think, Pisces is a very powerful sign, either as the sun sign or the rising sign. It's the sun sign if that's what they have achieved. It's the rising sign if that's what they are in the process of perfecting. So these nine signs from Cancer to Pisces, in order, you know, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, they are strictly expressive of human unfoldment. Although, you know, human unfoldment up to the fourth degree. And really, the master is still human, we are told. The master is still human. The Chohan, not. Strictly speaking. Okay. Conscious and superconscious. Expressive of human unfoldment, conscious and superconscious. Where does superconsciousness begin? Let's say beginning at the third degree. Though beginning with mass consciousness, with mass awareness of cancer. So DK has done two things here, as I've been trying to emphasize. He takes these three, he takes these nine, five signs, and then he talks about them at a specific stage of discipleship, which seems to lead to a kind of Piscean liberation. And he talks about them in terms of four or five successive incarnations. So that's a narrow focus. Then he widens out the focus for the entire development of the human being throughout the human race, from embryonic mass consciousness in cancer all the way to full liberation into the kingdom of God in Pisces. So there are different perspectives being presented here simultaneously. There are three signs preceding these which prove provide the subtle or subjective realities of the, okay, and this is very important, the types of will he connects here with these signs. He gives us the will to be, and what is the will to be really, you know, the will to present oneself, the will to be as opposed not to be, the will to exist, the will to be a present, the will to be present rather than absent. Emergence, in other words, the will to be of Aries, the desire to know in Taurus, which is the acquisition of knowledge and energy ideas, and the establishment of relationship in Gemini. Now, these have their microcosmic lower reflections in terms of the mind, desire, and etheric body of the human being, but he's speaking about much more general things here that can be applied to larger beings altogether. I like very much, do you remember how we just talked about Taurus in terms of consciousness? Let's see if I can get this here. Consciousness. He talked about Taurus in terms of consciousness. I'm going to have to put that in a different color. For some reason, that didn't work out exactly. So I'll go up here and do that. And he talks about Aries, and I think there's one place where we can put a few things together. The will to be, he talked about Aries in terms of, let's see how it goes, life, didn't he? And then he talked about Gemini in terms of, well, if I remember exactly, sort of dualistic activity. So that fits as well. Just another triplicity related to this triplicity. And these constitute the triple incentive to manifestation of man and of the human kingdom. In other words, what drives a man into manifestation is the will to be, the desire to know, and the establishment of relationship. So three factors drive the man into manifestation. Manifestation. Now, there are cosmic correspondences. I've been trying to emphasize that. You know, DK has not only been talking about the tiny microcosmic human being, he's been talking about far more than that. They correspond cosmically to the logoic, the monadic, and spiritual planes to which the higher initiate has access, or when dealing with the entire concept on it. Well, let's stop there. So he is definitely connected now. Interestingly, he's connected Aries with the logoic plane. No, wrong. Logoic plane. Taurus with the monadic plane. And Gemini with the atmic plane, which is a plane of knowledge. A plane of mind and knowledge. Oftentimes we begin with Leo, justifiably. At the logoic plane, we say Leo, logoic plane, ruling the divine lives, creative hierarchy, Virgo, monadic plane, the burning suns of desire, and Libra, the atmic plane, or the triple flowers, the triadal lives. That is legitimate as well. But and if we begin there, how interesting to see, if we begin at the Lagoic plane with Aries, then the Buddhic plane is ruled, in a sense, by Cancer. With its Buddhically connected planet, Neptune, which makes perfect sense because we know that Cancer is one of the intuitive signs, don't we? So there is a sense in which you can begin numbering the planes with certain signs of the zodiac associated and learn different things about the different planes depending on where you begin. Well, if you begin with Aries on the Lagoic plane, you learn something. If you begin with Leo on the Lagoic plane, you learn something. So there are cosmic correspondences to these three subjective signs, and in a way, the three higher cosmic subplanes, the Lagoic, Monadic, and Atmic, are subjective. That's what he seems to be saying. The three higher cosmic subplanes of the cosmic physical plane are subjective. Although from another perspective, the Atmic plane is the first Brahmic plane, and thus not occult from this high point of view. Okay, so he has dealt with this on the high turn of the spiral, and I just find it very interesting, this desire to know of Taurus and the connection of Taurus with consciousness. You begin to wonder about DK as the maybe the most learned of the masters with which we are familiar, and or the Eastern masters anyway, and his connection not only with Gemini, but I would say with Taurus. And if the image of him, which is current among the better images, has any accuracy to it, it does seem to show certain Taurian, certain Taurian traits. Okay. Or when dealing with the entire concept on a lower turn of the spiral in connection with ordinary man, they correspond to the mental, astral, and etheric vehicles. So it's always important to remember that DK is not merely talking about man, the microcosm. He's talking about the macrocosm as well, and he often does this in the same breath and in the same paragraph. So, you know, putting things together, we would say that the mind of man corresponds to the Lagoic plane, the astral nature to the monadic plane, and the physical nature of the atmic plane. Could we not say that? Could we not say, given the comparisons above, that the mind of man corresponds to the Lagoic plane, the desire nature to the monadic plane, and he tells us that elsewhere, and the etheric physical nature to the atmic plane? There are many ways in which higher planes correspond to different ones of the lower planes. Okay, so these three, they are therefore related to the highest and the lowest expressions of human life. They are subjective in both cases, and they're leading to manifestation. They're the sort of embodiment of the higher planes occurs on the Buddhic level. And the embodiment of the lower planes occurs on the dense physical level. So from this perspective, the Buddhic plane corresponds to the dense physical level, the dense physical level systemically considered. The lower three subplanes are going to be, in a sense, a correspondence of the Buddhic plane, even though from another perspective, the four ethers are the correspondence of the Buddhic plane. Oh, the Buddhic plane, and of course the four ethers above the cosmic ethers above that. I have in the above ideas given you several hints of vital importance. Watch, you know, every word has to be studied. When he says the word vital, he so often means etheric. And we have been talking about the cosmic ethers and their relationship to the systemic ethers. So every plane or subplane on the cosmic physical plane, just confining it to there, has levels of connection with different kinds of connections with different ones of the subplanes on the cosmic physical plane. And there are ways in which you can have superimpositions to figure your correspondences, or you can have reflections to gather your correspondences. I've often spoken of that, how the spiritual triad is in a way superimposed upon the personality, but the soul is reflected in the personality, and there's a difference. Then the highest and the lowest correspond in a reflection. The middle and the middle correspond, and the innermost of the high corresponds to the uppermost of the low. That's a reflection. It's different from a superimposition, a superimpositional correspondence. One of the symbols of an initiate of a certain degree is that of the five-pointed star with a triangle in the center. Well, okay, you know, what degree? This is a reference to the energy of the watery triangle with which we have just been concerned, and to the fivefold linking which has been established in the consciousness of the initiate. This is profound. You know, what seems to be suggested is either the third degree or the fifth degree. The threefold triangle could lead to the fifth degree, but more likely to the fourth, although, you know, some people take their mastership in the sign Pisces and some in Aquarius. And for some, the fourth degree is taken in Aquarius, maybe the majority, and the fifth degree in Pisces, the fourth degree in Pisces. So Pisces and Aquarius seem to be climactic signs in that respect, with people taking either the fourth or the fifth degree in the influence or under the influence of those two signs. There's a fivefoldness going on here. It's probably related to the sign Cancer, which rules the fifth creative hierarchy and is the highest hierarchy yet on the cosmic physical plane and is conditioning so much that is going on below before it achieves its liberation. So this watery triangle, well, it can suggest the spirit. We remember how we learned this from the Leo chapter. Stars are related to consciousness, and triangles are related to spirit. We could have here the idea that within the consciousness is the latent triangle of spirit, and with a point at its center, which would be the jewel in the lotus, perhaps. So we could have, in a sense here, this could be the union of spirit and soul portrayed for us. Well, I can't decide, you know, whether we should look at this in terms of the third degree or the fifth degree. I think you can make justifications for either one of those. But notice how the number five is coming up, and how it does definitely suggest consciousness and soul life, because five is the number of soul life. The soul is found upon the fifth plane, the higher aspects of the fifth plane. The watery triangle, which we have been discussing, you know, takes us all the way from the very earliest phases of mass consciousness to the completely liberated state. You know, there is a kind of an incarnation of the mind with Venus plunged into the depths of Cancer, and the mind becomes very individual at the individualization process. But there is the liberation of Venus and the return of the solar angels at the fourth degree with the exaltation of Venus in Pisces. So it seems to cover a very, very wide span. initiative a certain degree. Well, you know, here's the thing. If the five-pointed star is there, it could indicate the master, yes, the liberated master, and spirit could be at the heart of that, or the five-pointed star could indicate soul consciousness with the promise of the triangle of spirit developing within the soul consciousness. I think I just better leave it at that and hope that intuition will reveal which of those two it may be. Of course, the other possibility is that it indicates the fourth degree, but I think neither the triangle nor the five-pointed star is particularly related to that degree. It's usually the destruction of the five-pointed star and maybe its reconfiguration for as a symbol of the fifth degree. And then, you know, the triangle within the star, this is another thing. It could indicate, yeah, here's one more thing it can indicate, you know, the five lower subplanes of Brahma with the triangular monad at the center and the point within the triangle being the, let's call it logoic point, whatever that may be, the ultimate monad liberated on the monadic plane and free from the causal body. We do free from the monadic vehicle. We do know that there is a the monad is triangular. DK often represents it in that way. Well, there's just so many things it could be. That's the problem. You know, the fifth kingdom is represented by the soul, and this can represent the entire threefold progress, or the entire threefold progress of humanity within the sphere or star of soul development. So going all the way from, so the triangle can mean the progress all the way from individualization to consummation. Gosh, I'm sure the Tibetan has a clear and accurate statement as to what this really means, and I simply come up with possibilities for it, you know, either the third degree or the fifth degree or the entire history of humanity within the context of the developing soul. All right, well, perhaps we are at a point when we can say that this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 96, point C, and this is page something, 320. And the beginning, let's say, beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 96D, page 320. And we will carry this on as we can. Hopefully the program will convert as it is supposed to do. So very interesting things included in this chapter. And of course, the important thing to realize is that every chapter touches on every other chapter. I mean, in every chapter we're going to learn something that sheds light on other chapters, on earlier chapters in this particular case. So, if anything was let go in the Leo chapter, there's much about the individualization process occurring here. There's such an intricacy, a weaving in and out, connected with the interplay of these signs. Only a real master and student of these interactions could put this forward for us in such a way that it's much different from the way that ordinary astrology understands these interplays. We have to understand the science of consciousness and eventually the science of spirit in order to begin to interpret the life of consciousness and the spirit in astrological terms. And that is what we are attempting to do. Okay, so we'll maybe go on for one more at some point here. And for now, we'll just put us on hold. Okay.